Well, as we've said, this is a very special service today. We are going to have two testimonies today, but for those of you who are paying attention, what have we missed in the service? Communion! Well done, everybody. Okay, we will be having communion. Don't anyone panic. But we are going to have communion in between the testimonies today because these testimonies, they come out of our community, and communion is the gathered table. We just want to share this time together. So we've put communion right in the middle of the testimonies. We're going to have Sam. He's our first one. So as she's getting ready and coming up to the stage, I just want to give you a little bit of background on Sam. Sam's been at our church for a very long time. You may have seen her playing drums. You may have known that she's sometimes up in the text box as well. She is a very much loved member of our congregation. So she's going to come and speak first. Then we're going to have Lynn speak to us after communion. Lynn, you will have also seen her on the music team. I'm particularly proud today because lots of music team people up here. Lynn's been serving on the music team. She's also part of the pastoral care ministry, and God has just done amazing things in the lives of both of these women. So make them feel welcome, and I'll hand it over to Sam.
Thanks, Shel. Can I just start by saying how much I love Inglewood and being a part of this church and all of us and our pastors, and yeah, now that we're all buttered up, I can get started. So we're going to go back all the way to the beginning of my life, just for a moment. The day I was born, there was another. My twin brother was born 40 minutes before me. Sorry, Mum. It took a little while. And no, we're not identical, but yes, we can read each other's minds. We were born in the UK, and when I was three, our family moved here to Perth, where we've lived ever since. And I think you could safely say that I wasn't like your typical young girl growing up. Maybe it came down to having two brothers, but a prime example, in primary school, we got to dress up for book week, and do you think I went as Dorothy or a Disney princess? No, I went as Frodo. I had to mention Lord of the Rings. So. Also, when I was part of a nativity play, I flat out refused to play an angel. I cried until they let me be a wise man. But there you go. But we had a great childhood. My mum would take us to church as kids, and I think that set a foundation for my faith. As a young teen, I was still going to church, but my family experienced a really difficult circumstance with a connection through church, and it kind of shook us all. And I think at this point, my belief was more based out of fear of God and what not believing would mean for my soul than a desire to know God and have a personal relationship with him. I'm not really sure I understood what that meant. As I reached upper high school, I wasn't involved in church anymore. I still believed in God, but I was convinced that I didn't have the time or energy to work on my faith. During this time at school, I started to experience some big time anxiety, particularly around exams, and I missed a lot of school that year. Somehow I got a good enough grade to get into uni, and I did an arts degree. Oops. And it was around this time that I got connected back in with church. I went along with my mum, who was going to try somewhere new, and something a preacher said here kind of stuck with me, and it still sticks with me today. He said, if you're worried about whether you're saved or not, then you have nothing to worry about. Which, before hearing this, I don't think I felt totally secure in my faith and my salvation. So after uni, I landed what seemed to be like a really good opportunity, working in my field of study with someone I knew. But this very quickly got messy and fell apart, and it really shook my confidence and my self-esteem. I spent the next year or so barely working, spending a lot of time with people who didn't have my best interest at heart, I turned to drugs, and it was something I found hard to control. It left me in a space where I got into some big-time debt, and I had no hope of paying it off. And I spent the next 5 years paying it off. My anxiety peaked, and I experienced some really tough mental health challenges. And it was coming out of this tough period that I really connected back in with God. I decided to get baptized, and I think we have a picture. Do we have a picture? Yes. We recognize the Scott with a beard and James. Yes. And I also started studying chaplaincy. So it was this big kind of shift in my faith. Doing this course really contributed to strengthening my faith and my relationship with God. And after I finished studying, I kind of fell into working as a disability support worker. And this taught me so much about the diversity of people, challenges they face in daily life, and how beautifully unique we all are. I started coming to Inglewood in late 2017, and a few months later I got married right here. I started playing the drums right there in an effort to push myself out of my comfort zone and to give back to the church. And it's a great team to be a part of, can recommend. And the next few years were fairly smooth. I felt like I was doing the right things. Since studying chaplaincy, I'd been interested in street chaplaincy. And in 2020, things were ideal for me to do the course. And again, it was a huge blessing in my life. I think we have another picture. Thank you. That is from the graduation. Looking very happy. Walking the streets at ungodly hours, volunteering as Good Samaritans in God's name, I saw him move and felt very close to him. By the time last year rolled around, I felt like I was in a pretty good place. I had a home for babies, and we felt ready to start a family. I trusted that it would happen and was hopeful for the year ahead. Then in January, something really weird happened. I remember it was a Thursday because I had to bail on band practice. Over the course of a week, my feet had gone numb, and I'd never experienced anything like this before, and I was concerned enough to go to the hospital, fully willing to be told, you're all good, go. I was poked and prodded and scanned, and while I was waiting for the results, a physician told me, like, look, 9 times out of 10, nothing shows up and it's just super random. But he came back in a couple of minutes later looking a little pale. And he said that he was sorry he'd said that because they did find something on the MRI. And that's when things got real. And a neurologist came in and explained what they'd found. I think I peed a little when he said there were lesions on the scan. I did not know what that meant. And a couple of months later, I was officially diagnosed with MS, and it definitely shook me. It's not something I ever expected. And I didn't know much about MS, apart from there's a home lottery named after it. The doctor recommended I don't spend too much time on Google, which I didn't listen. And he was right, Dr. Google is not your friend. I read the words chronic, degenerative, potentially disabling, and I felt super overwhelmed. It's definitely not what I had planned for my life. But it led me onto the topic of healing. And I'll just say, I didn't necessarily like everything I found. I experienced some really discouraging comments from Christians that I didn't expect. Most notably, that people with autoimmune disease must not be saved. And it kick-started a big-time wrestle with God over his plan for my life and my trust in him. Did my healing or lack of come down to how much faith I had? Feel free to fight me on this, but I came to the conclusion that it didn't. Had to accept that healing isn't necessarily promised in this life, but we have an eternal promise in Jesus that one day we'll be with him. So I tried to continue as if nothing had changed, but I could feel myself burning out in my marriage and my workplace. Then in the middle of the year, my family experienced a huge tragedy. My father-in-law died suddenly, and I didn't get to say goodbye to him. This shook my faith probably more than my diagnosis did. I couldn't understand why God would let these things happen. And it was followed by a deep time of mourning. And then the year rounded off with my marriage falling apart. At the same time, I became really unwell and had to stop working both of my jobs. It was super confusing and painful, as you can imagine. And I experienced some hectic mental health challenges. I lost my home, my pets, and it felt like my whole world was crashing down around me. I never felt so alone or distant from God as I did then. But that's not to say that I didn't have support. People would regularly check in, and my parents gave me a room back home, a safe space to heal without the stress of keeping a roof over my head. I'm so grateful for family and friends who felt the sting of these challenges right alongside me. There's some days where I would barely speak to anyone, hardly get out of bed, and I so badly wanted not to exist. At this point, I want to give a massive shout out to my Connect group. Yeah. Hey! We do dinner and we all bring a plate, and there was many weeks where I'd turn up empty-handed, and it was never a problem. They accepted me week by week when things were so raw and supported me during this time. I spent a good few months not working, just focusing on getting through each day. And just last month I saw in the Street Chaplain newsletter they were looking for an administrator, so I applied right away. I felt like I had felt like it was a perfect opportunity for me. I'd had to stop patrolling as a street chaplain after my diagnosis. So this was also a way for me to be involved in the ministry I loved. And I got the job, and so far it's been a huge blessing in my life. Thank you. And in reality, I'm only months on from like rock bottom, and things aren't all sunshine and roses, but I do feel hope again for the future and God's plan for my life. And I just want to finish off with a Bible verse, which is, it always reminds me of God's immeasurable love. It's Romans 8:38-39. I have the NLT version. It says, "And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord." That is the end.
Good morning, all. Well, as you've probably figured out, I'm the Lynn part of the Sam and Lynn. First of all, I want to say thank you so much to Sam for sharing in such a vulnerable and raw way. Thank you for trusting us with your story. It was really powerful and touching. Thank you. And secondly, I want to declare that, like Mr. Darrington, I tend to become quite emotional when I reflect on God's love for me. So if I do, bear with me. I will try my best to be composed and articulate and communicate clearly. But yeah, that's just how God's love impacts me at times. So it's now my turn to share my story. And in a bid to not sort of leave anything out, I'm going to read what I've prepared. So My story is how faithfully and patiently God has loved and protected me throughout my life, even during times in my life when I wasn't faithful and loving towards him. As a prodigal daughter, whom God has welcomed back into his kingdom family, this is my brief summary of how God's extravagant love has powerfully changed my life. I was born into a Christian family, and attending church was a regular practice and part of my childhood and early adolescent life. My understanding of what it meant to be a Christian, though, was to be doomed to a life of strict rules given by a God who was a stern and distant being. A God who would punish or withhold his blessing if I broke the rules. My earliest understandings of God, based on the church environment in which I was raised, was therefore an understanding that the mark of a good Christian is based on performance. An outward focus of always exhibiting the right words, actions, and behaviours. I certainly didn't understand God to be a loving, gentle father figure who would have a very personal relationship with me and who wanted to help me to be the person that he created me to be. So, following my rebellious teenage years and young adult years, when I first made a decision to commit to the Christian faith in my mid-20s, the only way I knew how to be a good Christian was to start following the rules again and proving myself through performance or works. I threw myself into doing and saying all the right things that other Christians would know that I was a true Christian. I had musical gifts, so I joined the worship team. I led a weekly home group Bible study for young women. And when I occasionally visited a more charismatic church in the area, I'd raise my hands during praise and worship because that's what everyone else was doing. So it must be the mark of a truly spiritual Christian, right? But in all this busyness and focus on projecting the right image to other Christians, the one thing I'd neglected was really nurturing my relationship with God. Learning the deep personal heart stuff of who he was and who I was in relation to him. Needless to say, when I faced a major life challenge a few years later, my faith roots weren't that deep after all. And I made some life-altering decisions that would put me on a path which led me further and further away from following God and his plan and purpose for my life. I was like the seed sown on rocky ground in Matthew 13, verse 20. I'd received the word with joy, but I had no root. So I stopped going to church, and for the next 20 years, I lived a life that sought fulfillment in everything and everyone but God. Yes, there were some fun times and good times, but there were also some really tough and challenging times, which I attempted to cover up by simply trying harder to have more good times. I became stubbornly adept at running away from my guilt and shame. 10 years ago is when I first felt the stirrings or longing for something more. I was tired of the constant striving to be relevant and accepted in my career, striving for status, position, material possessions, friends. I was exhausted and empty. My life hadn't quite turned out the way I had hoped. There were a few shattered dreams along the way. I felt like I had no real purpose and was just drifting aimlessly through life despite the successful career. Things had kind of come to a head. My life as I knew it, all the things I'd put my security in, was being pulled out from under me. Things were changing irrevocably and I felt lost and helpless. In 2014, I had to undergo a significant medical procedure. The company I was working for at the time was going through a major restructure. I was made redundant from my job whilst on sick leave, recovering from that operation. It would be 10 months before I would work again. They were some of the darkest months of my life. But it was in that very dark and confusing period that God met me and ever so slowly and gently started drawing me back into relationship with him. And this is the part where I tend to get a little bit emotional. He started healing me and building me up. I didn't fully realize or understand it at the time, but I now know that it was God's Holy Spirit stirring in my spirit, saying, come back to me. Come back to a life of peace and purpose and fulfillment in me. So, over the next 5 years, he used my job that he gave me 10 months later and the people I worked with to teach me, to mold me, and to shape me in so many significant ways. This process wasn't always easy, and at times it was downright painful as I started understanding things about myself and my motivations that weren't always very nice truths to face. During this time, I also developed a voracious appetite to learn more about the Christian faith and study the Bible. I had never had this strong desire before, even the first time round. So I knew that this desire must come from God. In many ways, I felt like for the first time, I was truly learning what it means to be a Christ follower and to have a personal relationship with the living Creator God of the universe. In 2018, I felt God prompting me to go back to church. Really? Do I have to? Can't I just keep hanging out with you in our little bubble? It took me the next 6 months of making sure that I'd heard correctly. But in short, that is how I ended up at Inglewood Community Church. One Sunday morning in January of 2019. Why it was necessary to go to church or even maybe commit to belonging somewhere would be the next installment of my holy education. I would learn the importance of doing life in community with other Christians and not in isolation. It wasn't easy attending a church for the first time in many years, not knowing anyone but simply as an act of obedience. It was even less easy to keep coming back. But I guess by now, I'd experienced enough of doing life with God to know that he had my back. If this was what he wanted me to do, then it was for my good. It was part of the continued molding and shaping of who he created me to be. So much has changed in my life since I joined Inglewood in 2019. At that time, I was still working in the resources sector as a HR professional. But after 20 odd years of working long hours, I was exhausted, disillusioned, unfulfilled, and quite honestly burnt out. By January 2020, I'd resigned from my job to have a break and spend much needed quality time with my aging parents. By the end of that year, God spoke again. Very clearly. And with much trepidation and excitement, I chose to listen and enrolled in a course with Tabor Christian College to study a Master of Counselling practice. The next 3 years would be filled with all the stress and anxiety associated with study. Those of you who have been students, full-time or part-time, would relate. But also a richness of learning and development, because this was what God wanted me to do. Learning about the depth and complexity of the human spirit and the privilege to be able to walk alongside people in their struggles and challenges of navigating life in our broken world. It would also prove to be a continuation of my own personal journey of healing and restoration in preparation for my new vocation. I graduated successfully at the end of last year and am currently working in my new profession as a certified practicing counsellor. This is a brief snapshot of my personal journey of redemption, a story of how the love of God, whom I now truly know as my loving Heavenly Father, just kept relentlessly pursuing me throughout my life. And even though I felt hopeless and unworthy, at just the right time, he picked me up and lovingly and gently restored me back to fullness, wholeness, and security in him over the last 10 years. And he's still doing his work in me every day through his Holy Spirit who lives in me. I'm very much a work in progress. I continue to experience the struggles and challenges of life that we all face. There are consequences of choices I'd made in the past that I still have to live with and grapple with. But the big difference is that I no longer do life alone by relying on my own very limited knowledge and understanding. And no matter what each day may bring, I have a deep sense of divine joy and that peace that surpasses human understanding. I'm now like the seed sown on good soil. In Matthew 13:23, the soil of my heart is fertile and being nourished by the Holy Spirit daily. The fruit I now bear is not based on my own performance, but on the Holy Spirit's power of transforming my heart and renewing my mind as I willingly submit to and depend on his power in my life. So, there is so much more I could share with you, but in closing, I'd like to leave you with two verses from God's word that encourages me, and I hope will serve as encouragement to you. Psalm 94:18-19. When I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. And then here's the kicker, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So if you're here today and you've been touched by what you've heard from Sam or from me or from both of us, if you haven't yet experienced the love and power of Jesus in your life, then I would throw out a challenge to you to open your heart and mind to considering that the same love and power that has touched and continues to transform our lives can and will do the same for you if you are willing to invite Jesus into your life. Thank you for listening and allowing me to share my story.